Well, amen. Praise God. Let's stand up and pray together. Lord, what beautiful words those are. That when we seek Your kingdom first, that all the other things shall be given unto us. Thank You that You're a good God. Thank You that You're a good provider. That, Lord, You're a way better provider than we could possibly be. And, Lord, we want our life to show that. We want it to say that, the way we live and the things we do, choices we make. Lord Jesus, come and speak to us now again. Thank You for how You have spoken to us. We just want to pull up a seat beside You here this morning and sit at Your feet like Mary did and do that best part and hear Your voice and know Your will for us. Lord, I pray that I could just be a channel and that You would be the one who we see today. Bless this time now, this further service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. Well, welcome everybody, especially our visitors, and each one. I thought of at least 3 days that I could think of that every American has etched in their mind. 3 dates. Not the year, but the day that happens every year. What comes to your mind? Okay, 9/11. I didn't think of that one. That's 4. Christmas? I thought of that one.
Easter, July.
Well, Easter's not a day. Not a
4th of July. 4th
of July.
New Year's Day.
Okay. Okay, that's not a day, though. In other words, it's the July 4th or the December 25th. It's not a day. There's one more. Come on. I'll give you a hint. It's real close to now. April 15th. We got it. Right? Doesn't every American know that day? We do. In fact, today's the day. Today's the day. And it's interesting it seemed the Lord led us to talk about finances today a lot. I just thought about that yesterday. I had asked Brother Adam last Sunday. I asked him if he would share this testimony because I knew about it and I was just overjoyed with what God has done.
Amen.
And I thought, we need to hear that.
Yeah.
And I had in my heart a desire to talk about finances also. And I just thought, well, that would be a blessing if he could share that and I could talk about finances. I mean, can God lead that way?
Amen.
Or does it all have to be, you know, just secret and we don't know about what each other's going to do? Now, I didn't know John Mark was going to talk about that. But I thought about it yesterday. I hadn't thought about it, but I said, you know what? Tomorrow is April 15th. That's the day when everybody knows we have to give an account of our finances to the U.S. Treasury. Right?
Yeah.
And whether we liked it or not, we had to figure up our accounts and give a report of it to the United States and pay our taxes accordingly. And so it's a fitting day to think about finances because I think we all know that someday we shall all give account to the Lord for our life, but also for our finances. Did you know that? You will give account to God for your finances. And that's what we want to look at today. You know, finances is a pretty touchy subject. Why is that? Personal. Very personal. I thought of that. Any other reasons?
Pride.
That's right. Good.
Reflection of our priorities.
Reflects our true priorities. That's right. You know, I wonder sometimes if all God will have to do is just pull out somebody's checkbook. Say, here's the record. This is what you spent your money on. I mean, he wouldn't have to go any further than that, would he? But he has every detail. Now, finances is a touchy subject because it really hits us right at the core of who we are. Jesus talked a lot about finances, didn't he? I mean, when you think about it, he had a lot to say about money. And that only makes sense because Jesus is God in the flesh, and he knows what is real to us, where we live. Finances are a real thing that we all deal with every day. And we all make choices. And so I'd like to share a message on finances called Preparing to Give an Account. With maybe a subtitle, How Much is Your Money Worth? How much is your money worth? I want to say this message can, I think you'll be able to see from God's Word, this message can change your eternal, your eternal outcome, your eternal reward. It has the power to do that. It's God's Word. This message may hurt a little bit today. I'm sharing with you some of the things that God's been dealing with me for months, I'd say, weeks especially. So I'm just sharing how I'm being challenged by God. And I want to be a faithful minister of Christ. You know, ever since our men's retreat, I've been thinking more and more about the fact that I will stand to give an account to God for every one of your souls. Was I faithful? Did I tell you the truth? Did I give it to you straight? Or did I make you feel good? Or give you room to excuse yourself? And I want to be found faithful. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So maybe I'll just start with the story I shared briefly at the men's retreat. Because it's the backdrop, first of all, of this other story I want to share with you. It's in the same passage, the same time, the same period that Jesus was talking in one time. And so I want to start with this. And if you want to turn your Bible, it's in Luke chapter 14. And this is the section where Jesus talks about what does it mean to be a disciple? You know, at our men's retreat, the thing that over and over came out was we want to follow the Word of God. 24/7, 365. 100%, all the way. What does the Word say? Amen. And we want to be a church that's on fire. We want to be a church that is sold out to the Lord. And so this is a message that is in that vein. And so I shared on that Sunday morning this story about Jesus. It says in Luke that as he went, a huge crowd followed him. And he turned and said to them, if any man does not hate his father, his mother, his wife, his children, his brother, his sister, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not take up his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I think the crowd might have got a little slimmer. Which one of you who wants to build a house does not first sit down and count the cost? Whether you have enough to finish. Lest it happens that after you built the foundation and you're not able to finish it, men walk by and begin to mock, saying, he began to build, but he was not able to finish. And what king who goes to make war against another king doesn't first sit down? and consider whether he has sufficient with 10,000 men to meet him that comes with 20,000. Or else, while the other king is a long ways off, he sends an ambassador to him to desire conditions of peace. He said in the same way, "Whosoever of you does not say goodbye to everything he has, he cannot be my disciple." Powerful words. If you want to be my disciple, you've got to say goodbye to everything you have. That's what the word literally means, where it says, "Who does not forsake, he that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." It literally means, say goodbye. Bid adieu. So that's a challenge to me. And it's something that you do, you may do at one moment and mean it with all your heart, like I did when I was a new Christian with nothing, no stuff, just me and my backpack and my guitar. That was all I had. But I said goodbye to everything I had. The Lord's challenged me recently, "Okay, where are you at today? I got a lot more stuff. I've got a wife. I've got children. I've got brothers, sisters. I've got lots of stuff." So we have to continually do that. To continually assess, where am I at? Is everything God's? And so he told this story. And it's very interesting. After he told this story, it says in the Bible there in Luke that the publicans and sinners drew near to him to hear him. Right after he said that, the publicans and sinners drew near. They wanted to hear more. But the Pharisees criticized, "This man receiveth sinners." I heard Brother Moses share a message here one time. He talked about this very verse. And he said, "Praise God, this man receiveth sinners." That's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? Came out of the mouth of the Pharisees. "This man receiveth sinners." They didn't know what they were saying. They came and they heard. And so then Jesus told some more stories. He told a story about the lost sheep. Now there was 99 and there was one that got lost, but the master went and got that one. And then the lost coin. The woman had, I think it was 10 coins, and she lost one and she swept the house and she found that one coin because it mattered so much. And then he told the story about what we call the prodigal son. About the young man who got given everything and he went to a far country and he wasted it all on partying and loose living. And then he comes back home and his dad receives him. His older brother didn't appreciate it real well. Pharisees didn't like that one too good either. That story. So he tells that story. And then he comes to the next story, which is the main passage today that I'd like to share with you all. Because I feel like, you know, money is one of the foundational things. If we want to live a life that's truly on the altar for God, 100%, 24/7, money is maybe the starting place. I don't know. One of them for sure. So he tells a story, and I'll have to be honest with you. This story has been one that puzzled me for many years. I didn't like it. It looks like he praises a crook. Okay, did anybody else ever get bothered by that? I just didn't like it. I didn't understand it. And it just, this doesn't make sense. Come on, why can't you give me a story about a good guy that then I can, but a crook? But he tells a story about a crook. And as you'll see later, I've come to appreciate that it was a crook. I'm glad it was a crook. I can relate to that. So I'm gonna try to tell that story to you all. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a manager, a steward. And the same guy was accused to him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him to himself and he said, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you may no longer be steward. And the steward, the manager, thought within himself, what shall I do? Because I'm about to lose my stewardship. I can't dig, and to beg I'm ashamed. And he thought within himself, I know what I'm going to do. That when I am put out of my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And so what he did is he called all his master's debtors to come. And to the first one he said, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He said, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. And to another he said, how much do you owe my master? He said, 100 measures of wheat. He said, take your bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, for he had done wisely. For the children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say to you, Jesus said, and I say to you, make friends to yourselves by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful also in that which is much. He that is unjust in the least shall be unjust also in much. If you have been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? No man can serve two masters, for either he will love the one and hate the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees, who were covetous, sneered at him, derided him. They didn't appreciate that story. And he goes on to tell another story. Lazarus and the rich man. Let's just do the STS thing style here for a minute. Let's just retell the story. You help me. And we're going to find what's the spiritual observations and applications to our life today. All right. So there was this rich man, and he had what?
Steward.
A steward. A manager. And what did he find out about this guy?
He was wasting money.
He was wasting his money. So he called him to him, and what did he tell him?
Give
an account of yourself. Why? Because you're not going to be steward anymore. And the steward thought within himself, what am I going to do now? He said there were some things he couldn't do. Does anybody remember? Couldn't dig. And he wouldn't beg. Too proud to beg. He didn't say that, but he did say that. So he said, what am I going to do? What did he come up with? What was his plan? Okay, waste some more of his manager's money to make some friends. That when he doesn't have the money anymore, he'll at least have friends. Okay? And what did the Lord say about him?
Commended.
He commended him. That's the part I don't like that. That doesn't... I never liked that part. So the Lord commended him. Now why did he commend him? Because he was wise. He didn't commend him because he was a crook, right? He commended him because he was wise. Okay, very good. He used that which he had in his control to affect his eventual destiny. Let's just think for a minute. I thought of four things. We've already named maybe one, some of them. I thought of four things that this man realized that led to his it being said of him he was wise. Okay, what? And maybe there's more, but let's name. What were the realizations that this man came to that led to him being called a wise man? What's the first realization that he might have gotten? He had to give an account. He realized. All right, very good. Tax time was here. He had to give an account. Very good. That's one I didn't think of, so maybe it was five. Okay, what came after that? He was going to be fired. Good. He realized when he was going to give an account, he's done. And it wasn't like he said, hey, that's all right, I can give an account and it'll show me. No, he said, I'm out of here, I'm fired. He realized that. First thing, he had to give an account. Second thing, he was going to be fired. What else? What next? Didn't have enough friends or any friends. Good. In other words, he didn't have any way, he didn't have friends to help him. Okay. What else?
He needed to act quickly because his time was short.
All right, that's good. I didn't think of that one. He needed to act fast because the time is at hand. Very good. What else? Okay, he knew that no one else was going to hire him as a steward. In other words, he didn't have a future in this line, right? He wasn't going to get a very good recommendation. Okay, very good. What else? Anything else that he realized? It's one that we already was mentioned that I'm thinking of, but
he had one day left in control.
Okay, he had one day left in control. Yeah. Very good. He realized that I don't have a plan for what I'm going to do. I mean, he was pretty wise when you think about all these things. What's the flip side of realizing that you only have one day left before you're out of control?
Still have the power to do something now, and he didn't.
Good. He still had one day or whatever it was. He still had something that he had something to work with, right? Good. And anything else?
He knew he was going to be destitute just shortly.
Okay, he knew he was destitute very shortly. Good.
He needed to milk all he could get out of the resources in that hand.
Okay, he needed to milk everything he could get while he had something. Very good. This is great. Anybody else? Sisters, anything? Okay, you didn't have any other options. That's what it seemed like. He added it up and there was nothing else to do. All right. So, the Lord didn't commend him because he was a crook, right?
No.
That's what always bugged me, because I just... And I didn't really understand it anyway. But you know, this is just a beautiful parable when we really think about what it means. These are the four that I had written down. You all really helped to fill in a lot of nice things there. He was about to lose his job. He knew that. And he wouldn't be able to provide for himself. He still had his master's goods at his disposal, and he could use them to prepare for his future. One other observation, and I want you to consider this. Look at verse 11. There's a clue in this verse that tells us. Did anybody think that was sort of a strange way Jesus called it? Unrighteous mammon. Does it strike anybody like it did me? It's sort of a different name that I would use, maybe. What does verse 11, what clue is there in verse 11 to help us to understand why Jesus calls mammon unrighteous? There's a little word in there that to me opened this thing up.
True.
True. Real. True. He said, if you've not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And so what I get out of that is, the reason why this stuff here is unrighteous mammon, it's not true riches. We think it is. We act like it is. We like it. We use it. But Jesus just said it's not true. There's something that's real riches that makes this look like unrighteous mammon. Now, I want you all to close your eyes. And I want you to think in your mind, picture in your mind everything that you own right now, much as you can. Just picture in your mind what you own. Now, I want you to take out of that picture everything that you will have no say about 100 years from now. Is there anything left? How much do you own? How much do I own? Do we own anything? You can open your eyes. I just saw everything disappear. What do we call that? First of all, let me just ask the question. If I don't own it, who does own it? God. Can you think of a verse? That's true. I have a verse in mind that I'm thinking of. What? Anybody? What's the verse that tells us that God owns it? That's the one I was thinking of. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, it's all His. Everything is God's. That sounds like a rich man, doesn't it? It sounds like a rich man. And there's a lot of people taking care of his stuff, right? What do we call people who take care of stuff for rich people?
Stewards
or managers. So what am I and you? We're a steward and a manager. Some of us may be managing a lot of stuff. Some of us may be managing a little bit of stuff. But none of us own any of it. We're managers for a very rich man. And someday, we don't know when, every one of us is going to hear the words that this man heard, aren't we? Give an account of your stewardship, for you may no longer be steward. Aren't we all going to hear those words? We will all hear that. It's time to give an account of your stewardship, for you may no longer be steward. And that doesn't have to be angry or, that he's mad with us or he's... But it's just the fact is we shall all one day no longer be able to be a steward. And we will have to give an account of our stewardship. Is this beginning to open our eyes up to this parable? Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here who's never wasted anything of what God's given you? I don't see any hands. We've all wasted it, haven't we? Something. Somehow. Have we all used our talents exactly like we could have for the Lord's glory? We haven't. Have we used every penny that God has allowed to come into our hands for His purpose, perfect purposes? None of us can say that. That's why, you know what? I like that. I like the fact that He is an unjust steward. Because I can relate to it. I haven't been just either. There's some things I've wasted. And so that puts me, puts me right in there. We're all about to lose our job. Some of us, it could be this week. Some of us, it might be 50 years from now. But, you know, the thing is, we don't know. We don't know when our job's over. And that's what makes it a challenge. If we knew that we were going to lose our job tomorrow, I think we'd all know what we needed to do, wouldn't we? In a way, that's a good reason why there's a tax day. You know, April 15th, you got to. April 14th comes, you better have that thing in. You know, you better do it. I'm glad the government just doesn't decide when to do it each year. Right? The day before. Okay, tomorrow's tax day. No, it gives us time to prepare. And I believe Jesus told us this story so that we can have time to get ready for our day. And it's a loving thing. It's a wonderful thing that He's done that. We're all about to lose our job. And you know, just like this man, he said, I can't provide for myself once I lose this job. Isn't that true of us? There is nothing that I can do or you can do to provide for ourselves once our job is over. Nothing. We have no means. But like that man, we still have some things to work with, don't we? He realized, you know what, my job's over, I'm done, but I still have got some stuff to work with here. I'm going to prepare for that day. I'm going to use the stuff that I have today to prepare for that other day when I'm not going to have any means of providing for myself. Well, this really hits us home, doesn't it? You know, do we really believe? Do we really believe that there's another world that we're made for? Way more real than this world. Way more long-lasting than this world. Way more holding way more promise of glory, glorious blessing, joy. Or awesome, awful punishment and sorrow. Do we believe that? Do we live that way? This challenges us to our core. At least it does to me. And does our checkbook demonstrate that belief? Do the choices that we make? Now, we know that money is not the only thing that is going to secure us friends. And let's just talk about the friends for a minute. Who are those friends? That is another thing that really confused me. Okay, what am I going to... How do I make these friends, and who are they, and where are they? Who are these friends? God? Very good. I believe so. What else? The world around us? Okay. Let's look at our verses here. It says, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, or with the using the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. So what does failing mean there? Die. I mean, it's pretty evident, isn't it? You don't get received into everlasting habitations until you die. So our friends that we're going to make are going to receive us into everlasting habitations. Treasures laid up in heaven. I think that's a good answer, yes. Very good. Other Christians? Our friends? Okay, good. Good thought. What else?
Could it be people that we've reached with our lives?
Could it be people that we've reached with our lives? That's another very good thought. It just struck me yesterday as I was studying. You know, the story of Lazarus and the rich man, it follows right after this. I found some friends there. Let's just look at it. I found one man had some friends and one didn't. Chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he said, you know, God, I need a friend. I'm really thirsty. Could you just send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water? He didn't have any friends. Lazarus had some friends, didn't he? In fact, they carried him. The angels, it said, carried him. And put him into the bosom of Abraham. Isn't that a friend, a picture of a friend? I think that reveals something of what he's talking about. Make to yourselves friends. And whether that's the treasures, you know, that you've sent on ahead, or the people that you've led to the Lord or blessed somehow, or where how that all works, I can't theologically give you the perfect definition of what these friends are. But we know one thing. They're in eternity, and they're providing us and receiving us into everlasting habitations. That's an incredible thought, isn't it? That, you know, I said the subtitle of my message was, how much is your money worth? How much is it worth? Well, it's a nothing. How much is your money worth if you give it to feed somebody who's poor and can't feed themselves? How much is it worth? Priceless. How much is it worth if you support a missionary who's going to some unreached place and they lead a soul to Jesus Christ who's going to be snatched out of the lies of the devil and forever is going to praise God? How much is it worth? So we're just looking at investments this morning, right? Your money's worth where you invest it. And I don't want to lay guilt trips on everybody that you feel like today you've got to, you know, split your ice cream cones. Although, praise God, that's great if the Lord leads you to do that. I don't want to put that down. Praise the Lord. That is not what the Lord's saying. He wants a cheerful giver. And I'm not sharing this so you all give to the church. And that's not what it's about. I'm saying this to your souls.
Amen.
That you give to the Lord. That you prepare a place for yourself, habitations where they're going to receive you with joy, where you're going to enjoy the fruit of what you have done and set before you and how you've lived your life. That's what it's all about. And it's a joy for me to share this with you. You know, God's been, like I said, God's been dealing with me about this issue. Just a short while ago, I went into a store and they had some sort of tin thing there, you know, at the grocery store, money to feed the hungry in Lancaster County or something like that. I don't remember exactly. And the cashier asked me if I wanted to give some money to that. And I, over the years, I've sort of developed a theology that I don't want to give money to, like, worldly causes or things that I don't know who these people are. I'd rather give my money to the Lord's work and to, you know, furthering the gospel and so forth. And I think there's some right things about that. But, you know, I just felt bad when I walked away from that checkout counter that day. I just didn't feel good. And I don't think I was condemned, but I just said, you know what, I'm a Christian. I, I should be a giver. Somehow it doesn't feel right to me to, I don't give there, no. It just seemed like the Lord challenged me, okay, if you're not going to give to that, why don't you give to something else? Why don't you use that stuff as a reminder? That it, and why don't you give to a few of those things anyway? Just to keep your muscles, operating well. So that's the challenge that God's brought to me, that I would use those opportunities as a reminder that, I'm a giver. I'm supposed to be a giver. And that's who I am as a Christian. And, that's just an example. That's just one little thing of how God's been speaking to me. And, when God speaks to you, it's not a have to. It's not a, I've got to do this, or it's just, I'm condemned. No, it's a get to. It's a, I want to do this. This is right. One of the things God showed me to speak these things in my heart was I saw this clip of this pastor who he's written different books and things, and he actually makes a lot of money. And he was walking through a new car lot, I guess, or used, I don't know which one. But he walked through and he started out and he says, I love new cars. I just like the way they feel when you sit down in them. I like the way they smell. I like the acceleration when you've got a fast engine. He walked past. He said, which one would you take if you could choose any one in the lot? Okay, and these were like Maseratis and Porsches and BMWs, whatever, the real fancy ones. He said, let me show you the one I chose. He walks over and sticks his hand on the top of it and says, 1996 Subaru wagon. And he said, some of my friends think I'm crazy. Because I could afford any car in this lot. But he said, I don't see it that way. He says, because I think, I think of that $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 that I could save, that I saved. And I think, I could build an orphanage in Africa. And he said, 10 years from now, I'm not going to be thinking about all those great drives that I missed out on. But he said, I'm going to be enjoying the fact of those children, seeing those children's faces smiling and their hungry bellies filled. He said, I don't think I'm crazy. I think I'm just wanting to do what makes me happy. And I think, some of them might be the crazy ones. Well, that just struck me. And as my family and I, we've been going through the family vision, talking about what kind of family do we want to be? How do we want to do things? That's one of the things that we've come up with. We're putting together our dynamite, our gunpowder. And everything begins with an L. Because we're the Lloyds. Double L. So everything, all the stuff begins with an L. But one of those things, I can't think of the first word. What is it about the giving? Not sticking yet. But anyway, one of the concepts is that we want to be givers. Laying up. That was it. We want to be people that lay up stuff. In fact, we want it to be a joy. We want to have excitement as we think about, through the year, what we get to do. Who we get to help and what we can do with what God's given to us. And that's a real excitement to my family. They get into it. That's way more exciting than buying some stuff, isn't it? Something for ourselves. So that was another thing that really God spoke to me through different books, just different things. When God speaks, it just comes. It seems like everywhere you turn. Heard of another fellow. He saw that he had this big house that he didn't need. And he wasn't a rich guy, but he had this big house that he really didn't need. So he decided to downsize. And he sold that big house and he bought a small house. And guess what? He was a rich man all of a sudden. He had a chunk of money that he could do something with. That only rich people can do that. That's just a little example of how somebody got a hold of this stuff. And, now for me, that's not going to happen for a while because I need every square foot in my house. And maybe you do too. And, maybe God's not going to speak to you. Maybe you need your big house. I'm not here to tell you what you have to do at all, but rather to inspire us. These are some things that some people have done, choices that people like us have made. And to inspire us to seek the Lord and to make friends. Make friends for ourselves. How about this one? Get out of debts that are excessive. If we have a debt load that is so big, let's say for a house even, that it controls everything. Everything we do has to go into that. What about that? What about making a choice to use that money different? And I'd encourage, especially young people, I have some debts. We bought a house. There was a time when I would not have gone into any debt at all. I just believe that you shouldn't take any debts. But there came a time as our family grew and different things, we decided, we felt like the Lord, it was okay. That God would allow us to do that. And we chose a pretty small house, modest. Something that didn't strap us. Something, in fact, the guideline we used was, I don't want to pay any more for my payment than I'd have to pay if I was renting. So that's the guideline we used. In other words, I'm no more bound in terms of a monthly requirement than I would be if I was renting. So that, and God, I believe, has blessed that. And we're hoping that we'll be out of debt soon by God's grace. But I just want to encourage young people, don't take on something that you are going to be a servant for the rest of your life. The borrower is what?
Servant
to who? The lender. That is the truth. There's a lender that lent me some money and I am their servant until I pay it all off. Again, it's choices that we make. We live in a society that extols the American dream. Right? You got to have the biggest, the best, etc. And what can happen to us is we end up bound to that thing, hindered from serving God. And that's one of the things ways I would define financial freedom. Am I free to serve God as He leads me? Or do I hear myself, catch myself saying, well, I'd want to do that, but I've got to pay my mortgage or... how did I write it down? When money matters aren't dictating how you serve God and man. And I said, no debt or low debt. In other words, a debt that you can handle. It's God. I believe it's God's will. And I just rejoiced with Adam and his family that they're free. Hallelujah. Free to make friends. Free to make friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. And God bless them and is blessing them. Some other ideas, choose a less expensive vehicle instead of a fancy one. It's a lot of money we can save. Save the coffee, pop, candy money you spend every day. Give it to buy a poor family a goat this year. Did you ever see those things where you can buy like a goat or a chickens or ducks? You could actually do that for a whole family with pop and candy money. And however God leads you, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Take it in prayer. How many of you, let's see, I want to see how many of you grew up in my culture. Anybody remember when they used to have these prizes in like a grocery store or a department store where you could go. You had 5 minutes if you won. You got 5 minutes to take a shopping cart through that store as fast as you could and put as much as you could in the shopping cart. Does anybody remember that? Okay, there's quite a few. Do they still do that? They do still. Okay. Well, it's kind of crazy, and I don't think it's really a Christian thing to do anyway, is it? Run through the store and just, boom, throw everything in there as fast as you can so that, you know, take away as much as you can from the store owner so that you can get it in 5 minutes. But, you know, when I was a boy, we used to talk about it. Okay, what would I do if I won? And this just came to me this week. We were in family devotions and talking about something. I just remembered these type of things, and so I thought, that's a really good illustration. What if you were given 5 minutes with a shopping cart? Let's just say in Walmart. I know when I was a boy, sometimes it was the supermarkets, and people would say, you know, your friend and you'd be sitting around talking about, what, did you hear about that lady that got the thing for 5 minutes? Yeah. What would you do if you, you know, well, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd go straight for the meat department. And I'd put all the filet mignon and meats in there. Who cares about the toilet paper and the paper towels and all that other stuff, you know? Well, because you think about what's the most valuable, right? What is the best use of this shopping cart? And so I thought, okay, what about Walmart? What if we got to go to Walmart? And I thought maybe of a little child, okay? They've gone to Walmart with their mother a lot of times, and there's this big stuffed animal that they really like. And they got told, you know, you can go into Walmart and you can take anything you want and fill up your cart as fast as you can. You get to keep it all. And they say, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going right for that toy department. I'm going to get that big stuffed animal and stick it in the cart. I'll have my mother put it in the cart for me. Now, we laugh at that, right? Because we know, come on, that's not the smart thing to do. That's not wise. No, you go right to the electronic department. Or right to the jewelry department. I think that's where I'd go, right? Watches, bracelets, diamonds, gold. Straight for there. And you could fit a lot of that stuff in a cart. In fact, you could probably fit half of the jewelry thing in one cart. And you know what? You can buy that stuffed animal with one little watch. But no, I want the stuffed animal. It's what I want. Well, that child isn't wise, right? In a real way, you know, that's where we're at. It's like God says, you got one shopping cart, and you get this certain amount of time, and you can send up as much stuff as you want. In fact, you know, whatever you can get in there until you fail, until your stewardship is over, you can send it up ahead of you, and it'll be right here waiting for you. And so many times we get the stuffed animals, toilet paper, the things that really don't make sense. We act like that little child, right? No, this is so important. This is so valuable. I've got to have it. I've looked at this for so long. I want it. And the father looks on and this is way better. And all that stuff. If you get this, you got everything. And so here's the challenge that I thought of for us this week. Can we all go home? You know, we're thinking about vision. We're thinking about mission. And where we're going as a church. Where we're going as families. We had to look at our books to get ready for April 15th. Right? We had to do it, or at least give them to somebody else. My challenge to us this week, I'm asking if we would all go home, sit down, and look in our books, look in my checkbook, look in my financial record, and see how much stuff did you send ahead this year, this last year? How many friends did you make? And see if maybe there's a way that next year you can make some more friends with the fake the fake stuff. Exchange it for the real thing. I think it'd be a wonderful exercise if we could all just do that and lay it before the Lord and say, God, I want the real treasure. Show me how I can use this fake stuff, this unrighteous mammon, to make friends for myself. And don't anybody here be condemned. Please. I don't want you to go out of here condemned and feel you have to. God wants you to feel like you can get to. And it's better to give cheerfully this than to give grudgingly more. I believe. What choices can I make this year? As I look over my record, as I give an account, as I take a preview of my account before that day when I have to give an account, that I may have friends in eternal places. May God help us to do that to His glory and praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. When we hear teaching from the Word of God, I don't believe it is condemning. It may be convicting. There's a difference. And conviction is important. It's from the Holy Ghost, through the Word of God, through the foolishness of preaching, you know. That doesn't mean it doesn't arrest us or do something to us, but it's still good. So thank you for that. And and I appreciated how God ordered the service with Adam sharing and even priorities. And I think there's a direct link or tie-in or however you want to say it that God had for us this morning. I believe they all fit together. I thank the Lord for that. I want God to continue to teach me in these things. Amen. Well, let's take some time here, a few minutes, and if you have something you'd like to share, either a testimony or a confession or something the Lord is showing you in these things, then we'll give you that opportunity to share. You raise your hand. We have some microphones so others can hear. One in the back there.
Yeah, I just had to think as Paul was sharing about the different boxes we see in stores where there's for the hungry or whatever. I never had a habit either of putting money in there because I'm thinking of how does it get used, how it might get wasted. And it just crossed my mind as I stand there making my righteous and pious excuses. Not only is God see it all, there's a counter there, there's the clerks, there's people behind you sometimes can see you buy my coffee and my sandwich, and they can see I'm well fed and I don't share. And I also had an incident happen to me 10-15 years ago where I went to the store to buy party goods. I think we were having a birthday party for somebody, and I bought chips and ice cream and whatever. And as I stood there paying, there was an older gentleman that you would see on occasion in the neighborhood trying to buy some food, and he didn't have enough money. And it never crossed my mind to help him until I was going home. I've never forgot that. Mm-hmm. He was hungry and he needed food. And I was buying pleasurable goods, something we can do without, and I didn't have the heart to share. That's just something that convicts me that we not only give account, but we need to watch out for chances to help.
It's good, yeah. Those opportunities do happen. Down front here.
I'd like to bless Adam for sharing that testimony. I'd like to encourage everyone else to think about the reality of it. The other night, I gave Adam a ride home because he didn't have enough cars to reach around the family. And he was telling about getting out of debt. and the freedom that it gives. And I don't think I'll ever forget what happened when he got out of the car. He jumped and pranced and danced like an 11-year-old boy and ran toward the house. I thought he was going to jump right over the fence. There's nothing like freedom from the heart.
Yeah, amen. Yes, okay, sorry. Yes, over here.
I just want to thank Adam and Paul both for their messages this morning. It spoke greatly to my heart. And recently a friend of mine gave me a book called Eternity Driven, and I started to read it, and it just has brought a deeper sobriety upon my heart that someday I would stand before God on that judgment day, and He would judge me for every word I spoke and all my actions. And I just long to hear Him say to me, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
Amen. Okay.
Yeah, I thank you too, Paul, for sharing. My wife and I have been talking about giving, and I've been confessing how hard it is for me to give cheerfully. And so many times I want to save it up for my own things and what I would like to do with it. But the shopping cart really spoke to me. And just to know that there will be a reward for everything you give. You're not just giving it and you'll never see it again. But I did have an experience this week where I was working in the community doing a job for somebody. And there's a local man that often hangs around the community and wants to do odd jobs for just a little bit of cash. So I first told him, no, I this is something I can do by myself. But he's like, no, I want to help you, I want to help you. So finally I left him help me, and he turned out to help me a lot more than I anticipated. And I went for lunch break, and he kept on working, and he worked like 4 hours. And when he was finished, I went up to the house to get some money for him. And he said, could I have $20? I had told him maybe 10 or 15, because I didn't know how much he was going to work. And he said, could you give me 20? So I said, sure. I went in the house, and I thought of it, you know, how God does not like when you take advantage of the poor. And that this man worked 4 hours very hard. So I said, you know, I'm going to double this. So I gave him 40. And when I went out to pay him, I told him, I said, you worked really hard for me today. I said, I doubled what you asked for. And he could hardly take it. And I know it meant a lot to him. I know I made a new friend. And, you know, I haven't forgot that. I really enjoyed that experience. And I want to do more of that where you have the joy of giving.
Amen. That's good. Thank you for sharing that.
I feel like the entire service was custom tailored for me. I was tremendously blessed with what brother here, Adam, thank you. I was tremendously blessed with that, and then what Brother Paul shared here during the message just really, really spoke to me. And God just confirming, this is the right way, walk you in it. But probably what ministered to my heart the most was the children's lesson, where Brother John Mark shared with the children on just removing everything from our lives, giving God complete ownership, putting those things first that really that are a priority to God, putting those things in. God will fill the rest with whatever is necessary, the needs that we have. And it just moved me to tears to realize that God is so intimately concerned about my life and concerned about things that I'm concerned about. But first things first, put God's things in there and He'll make sure that all my needs and things that concern me are taken care of. I just want to bless God. I'm so glad and grateful to be here this morning.
Amen. Yeah, I also just thought of that. I do want to bless the church here for your all's hearts of giving. I've seen it many times over the past 17 years that I've lived here, and giving to God's work, missions, different situations, even our own need the last year and a half. We've had a lot of unusual and large medical bills, and the church here has helped us with those. And we really appreciate it. And it's a faith builder in many different ways to see those things, both giving to others and then also receiving. And it's just a beautiful thing to see all those different things the way God ministers through hearts of giving. Yes, I'm sorry, sister, go ahead, Mary.
Yes, I also want to bless Adam and his family. It has been such an encouragement and blessing to me to see the family work together in coming to this goal, and
Amen.
Then to be able to share in the rejoicing together. And I also have had a struggle kind of with that story, like Brother Paul said in the beginning, and it was very interesting to me, and just to think of the friends to receive us if we have invested in the things that are really important in life.
Amen. Okay, John Mark?
Yeah, I'm just appreciate, too, being a part of a congregation that is generous. Just such a blessing to see how the Lord uses you to meet so many needs. You know, if the mission fund gets low, it seems like it's not a problem. The Lord provides through you.
Amen.
And I just want to bless you. And I think it's biblical that we think about that is one of the purposes for working. As we talk in Ephesians 4:28, there it says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." So, one of the purposes for us working and earning money is to give to others. You know, earn enough so that our basic needs are met, but then that we're able to share. And I just am so thankful to be a part of a congregation that does that.
Amen. Adam?
I just want to say that if anyone has any questions about my testimony or is in debt and would like to have encouragement or would like for us to pray for them, please feel free to talk to me. We will pray for you or answer your questions as best we can. We want God's kingdom to increase in the earth, and we want to be for each other. Thank you.
Amen. Okay, sister, yes.
Yes, I wanted to share a verse in Deuteronomy that has really been an encouragement to me on the subject Brother Paul spoke of today regarding money and giving to others. In Deuteronomy 15, where it speaks about every 7 years that the Israelites were to release their servants, release debts, give to the poor, etc. Verse 10 it says, "Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest to him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto." And that has always been an encouragement to me, that as I give to someone, that I can be sure it will not be to my own hurt, that God has promised to bless me in all the works of my hands because of this thing of giving. And was just encouraged in the fact also of it said, it shall not be a grief unto us. Mm-hmm. You know, many times, well, I need to, so I do, but it's still kind of a grief in my heart. Or another verse later in the same chapter says, "It shall not seem hard unto thee." And that has always been an encouragement to me, that it's more than just the doing, but also a matter of the heart that God is looking at.
Amen. Thank you. Good verse. All right, why don't we, can we stand to our feet and just have a little word of prayer, thanking the Lord for working among us. Amen. Father, we bless you this morning. We praise you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love, your word this morning, your spirit that coordinated all these things and worked together to give us what we need to hear and what we need to receive. May we receive it as from the Lord. May you do the work in each of our hearts. As Brother Paul said, not in condemnation, but if necessary, conviction. And therefore then change in the work of God and your grace in our life to alter our ways if it need be, change our priorities if it need be, whatever it is. Father, we do pray for the congregation, pray for each one. We thank you for that freedom that is in Christ, that He did pay it all. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.